Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Here we are with another episode of KJV Cafe as we're studying God's Word. Amen. And we're on episode 105, it looks like here. Hey, it's amazing. Lord has prospered the show. Amen. Allowed it to carry on this long. As you remember, before this, we had a whole year. I guess that was the warm-up. Amen. So it's actually episode, 370-something. Amazing. But we looked at last episode, Genesis 7, we looked at the what, like how the earth was flooded, what could have happened, and storybooks and folklore make us think that it just rained a little bit and the flood came, we may think of like some kind of modern day dam breaking and the flood coming. But actually, it was God working through the powers of nature, through opening the windows of heaven, amen, and opening up the great deep, a big earthquake at the ocean floor, creating tsunamis and massive movements of water. And when we see these things happen, they're completely in line with how God would judge mankind. Often, when you read about they get into Ezekiel and Jeremiah and so forth. They'll write about God's destruction, and a lot of it deals with hailstones and fire, mentioning Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, birds eating off of people's flesh, people eating each other, famines, So yes, it's mentioned the sword as in people killing other people, but oftentimes God's way of judging humanity and dealing with rebellious humanity is through these natural occurrences. And so it's completely in line with what God would do to have this then happen in Genesis and have Noah at the same time saved through this ark. And we're going to focus a lot on the ark in the next episode. But this episode, we are on Genesis 7, verse 12. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And we've talked a lot about 40 days and 40 nights here at the cafe, and we're going to spend this episode speaking about the significance of 40 and looking at a bunch of Bible references to that number and what it could mean for us here today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back from this break. Thank you.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so the number 40, I've told myself to do this because I'm not a numerology person. I'm not looking at the numbers all the time, okay? I get it. We're not focused on the numbers, but at the same time, we shouldn't ignore patterns that God gives us, because one thing that the Lord does in Scripture, in the New Testament especially, is repetition. He'll say, verily, verily, listen up, hearken unto me. There'll be these parables that are similar. The Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are similar yet different, but there's a repetition there. If you read the New Testament, you're not getting the story of Jesus Christ one time. You're getting a repeated story of what Christ has done for the world multiple times. Matter of fact, if you want to get real detailed, there's repetition in the Old Testament speaking of Christ coming and helping us to understand his role. Amen. God knows that we are thick-headed. He knows we're stubborn, and he knows sometimes we need a little bit of encouragement. And so I believe God gives us numbers in the Bible for that reason. I don't focus a ton on it, but I also don't ignore it. The number 3, that's a very important number. One of the early online messages we did was a 3-part series on the number 3. And that was an abbreviation of all you could go through on the number 3. There's so much on that number. We've talked about the number 7 before. 40 is a great number in the Bible, but it's often a very sobering number. And so we see in Genesis 7:12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And we see that this is symbolic. I think gotquestions.org did a good little article on this about how it shows judgment, testing, trials, probation. I thought that was a good one. Trouble and hardship. And so we see in the Old Testament many mentions of 40. This one being that God destroys the earth in 40 days, right? So we understand that the water from the, we see verse 12 of Genesis 7. I'm just finding my notes here. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Okay. And we know the water, the prevailing waters were 150, but that they wouldn't, God wouldn't put this in his word if it wasn't important for us to understand how long it rained. Amen. It rained 40 days and nights. We see Moses killing the Egyptian. Okay. When he's trying to stand up for his people, yet he was kind of doing it his own way. He kills the Egyptian. He thinks he's going to be celebrated or something. And they say, who are you? Are you going to kill me next? You know, word got out. So he was, you know, Moses was on the run. He flees to Midian to be a shepherd in the desert. He lives there 40 years. And matter of fact, as I understand it, Moses had 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and 40 years leading the Israelites in the wilderness in that scenario. So you have 40, right? Three times. So again, I mean, yeah, it may just be a number, but that's pretty fascinating. You know, you get two good ones in there, you know, a third of his life, you know, I believe that there's something to that. The Lord called me to the mission field and to plant a church after I had been at my existing church 7 years, number of completion. I mean, I didn't plan it that way. It was looking back and reflecting on it. Amen. And so, yeah, you know, it's just interesting that that's how Moses was in the wilderness 40 years like that. And that time in the wilderness wasn't really a great time. I mean, he was living lavishly there. Well, you have to imagine as the son of Pharaoh, you know, and he chose to suffer with the Israelites instead of enjoying the good life. Hebrews 11:25 speaks of Moses saying, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so truly, you know, he didn't just suffer affliction in the 40 years, so that must have been very grueling leading God's people who were rebellious, but also 40 years in Midian as a shepherd. Moses also was on Mount Sinai talking with God 40 days and 40 nights. That's Exodus 24. So that was a time, not just for Moses up there, but you remember the people were down, you know, down without him for a long time. They got a little nervous, started getting into things they shouldn't have gotten into. Moses intervening for the Israelites. This is Deuteronomy 9:18-25. He was fasting for them 40 days and nights. Again, a time of testing, of trial, of probation, of hardship. The law sets the max punishment for lashes. Back then you would get whipped with these cat of nine tails whip. It was a brutal, brutal weapon. And the max punishment was 40 lashes. That's Deuteronomy 25. That's all you could be whipped. Israelite spies spent 40 days in Canaan land. That's Numbers 13:25. And you remember, save Caleb and Joshua, they all came back and said, hey, they got giants over there. We shouldn't go. So 40 days in Canaan land spying it out, that's a time of testing, and the Israelites fail that test, which for their unbelief, they're all wiped out. That old generation, besides Caleb and Joshua, are wiped out. Spent 40 years in the wilderness, as I mentioned, Deuteronomy 8:2-5. How about the Israelites were under the Philistines prior to Samson's deliverance for 40 years? That's Judges 13:1. Goliath taunted King Saul's army, you guessed it, 40 days before David came to slay him, 1 Samuel 17:16. And you have prophecy mentioned with the number 40 from Ezekiel, as well as others, amen. You know, the number of 40 is a very big, important number in the Bible because it signifies this testing and this trial. You know, Jonah, in the book of Jonah, 40 is mentioned with the Ninevites, right? We have it all over Scripture. And again, you know, it's not like we have to believe in the number, but don't ignore it. You know, I mean, if you see this pattern over and over again, you know, then don't ignore it. How about in the New Testament? Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. We've spoken about this before on the program from Matthew 4:2. He was tempted in the wilderness by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And I always like looking, I think it was Matthew 4:1, because that shows us what? That shows us why Jesus went, right? Why did he go? He was led of the Spirit, Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit, capital S Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. So we see here, the Holy Spirit led him there. Why would the Holy Spirit lead him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Could it be for your good and my good to teach us how to deal with temptation? As we are tried, and Jesus was tried and he came out perfect, amen. He quoted scripture 3 times. He was tempted. He was tired. He was hungry. And the Lord blessed him for his perfection. He was without sin. The scripture also shows us it's not a sin to be tempted because Jesus himself was tempted. Another example from the New Testament, and I'm almost done with these examples. There are a lot of them here, was that Jesus was walked the earth after his resurrection, before his ascension, 40 days and nights, as Acts 1, verse 3, that he was risen again, available for all to see, seen by over 500, 40 days before he ascended up to be at the right hand of the Father where he is today. It's a trial because you are seeing Jesus or you're hearing of him. And many would be like doubting Thomas, saying, look, if I can't touch him, I won't believe, right? And what does Jesus say to him? Well, you know, touch me so you can believe, but blessed are those that haven't seen me and they believe. Now, isn't that the time we're living in now? You know, as much as I believe in God, as much as I go to God in prayer, morning, noon, and night, as much as I try to make him preeminent in my life, that's a Bible word, amen. You know, I've never seen him. You know, he's never come to my door. There were times with our little church would meet in the house and I'd say, I wish the Lord could just come in here and preach this for me. And I think the Lord would laugh and say, I am preaching it for you through the Holy Spirit, but he never came to my door. If he did, I'd probably fall over dead to see him, right? I'd be speechless, but I haven't seen him and yet I believe. And so we have this interesting application thematically of testing and trying. And so what does this say about the character of God? It says that God expects us to exercise faith and believe, right? And how about this, that God expects us to exercise faith and believe in tough times, all right? When building the ark, that may not have been the best of times. There was wickedness everywhere. God had straight up told Noah he was going to flood the earth and wipe everyone out. He was certainly mocked and ridiculed for what he was doing. It was a massive project. I'm sure it was very stressful to get done. He had to keep his kids in line and his wife and everybody to understand that this is God's plan because they, being humans, would doubt. Okay, like that's normal. So I'm not saying he had to like scream at him all the time, but anybody would doubt. I have a family of 5, including me, amen, and one in heaven. But it's not easy. I would never tell anyone it's easy to like keep everybody in the mix of what, you know, hey, trusting God and living for God and not doubting God. But God is allowing us a time to be tested, right? And then the other part of this is often through these scriptural references, we see that they didn't know in advance that the trial would end. Amen. I don't think Moses, when he went into Midian, knew how long he'd be there. You know, I don't think the Israelites knew how long. I mean, as I understand it geographically, to get to the promised land from where they were wasn't that far. So I don't think they had any idea they'd be there that long or that they'd die in the wilderness. Amen. There's so much of this that we don't know in the test, in the trial, amen, that we don't know. And so what this all says is that we need to trust the Lord in times of trials, because what we do see is that 40 days and 40 nights, it has an ending. And at that ending, amen, there's great blessing for those that overcome, as the Bible would say, for the overcomers that make it through that trial and have their faith intact. Tune in next time as we get deeper into Genesis 7. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.